Everybody. Before I begin, just a couple things. Next Sunday, after service, we are having we're calling it a meeting, but we are going to give you updates as well as new artist renditions on the building project. We're going to tell you where we are, what we've got, what we need. All that stuff. We're not going to be raising money on that day. But one of the things I'm going to ask of you is, you know, it's the biggest project we've ever took on. And it's going to really require, we're probably going to wind up having to do some things to get to push this thing over the edge. So if you are a man of skilled labor, we're going to plead with you when we get into this thing. We're going to contract the majority of it out. But there'll be some stuff we're probably going to have to do to try and to make it happen. So anyway, we just want to inform you and let you know where we're at and hopefully get you excited. I'm not going to lie to you. Some days I'm not excited at all. Some days I think I'm not doing this. It's not even happening. That's the truth. But I do feel like we're where God wants us. Also, on the 8th at 6:30 p.m. next week, they're doing a Super Bowl watch party here. So if you want to come for some fellowship and watch football, you have any questions, you can see Sister Angelique. I think she's spearheading that for us. And then next Saturday at 10 a.m., you say, well, what's all this stuff? Well, most of this is for you. What are you whining about? See, I'm preemptively addressing the whining. Super Bowl party, it can't be nothing but fun. And then next Saturday at 10 a.m., you can talk to that man right there, Fly Guy, the Bride Guy Weaver. And February 7th, men's breakfast in Orwell. So come on out and have some fellowship. Have some fun with the men's breakfast. And we would like to have you there. And we'd like to see you. Am I forgetting anything? Thank you, buddy. If you weren't here, I wasn't, but we did listen. Bishop Nichols last week preached a phenomenal message that I think is very important and timely, and I would encourage you to go by and listen to that. Also, you should have got my text today, but if you would, we're gonna break protocol for 30 seconds. If you have not done, every Sunday and Wednesday, if you'd go on your app, And you would like our YouTube page. If you haven't done it already, you should have. I mean, help us out some way. We can't get you to clean. We can't get you to cook. We can't get you 10 service half the time. At least like the page. Go on that YouTube page because it will help promote and advance the page. Amen. So if you would do that, you can even do that right now if you want. I'm going to direct your attention to the book of Numbers. I sort of hate going back to this text, but I have to for the sake of this message. I love the text. I've just referenced it a lot over the years. Neither here nor there for me, but some people like new stuff. There's a man in front of you or beside you. Just poke them real fast and say, you need to be at the men's breakfast. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. And then after 25, we're going to jump to verse 30. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. In verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They are stronger than we. A few weeks ago, I preached about the theys. Who are they? I want to preach to you after they pray on the topic, calming the ripple effect. And Pray for us, Brother Matthew.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we honor you, Lord God. I thank you for bringing each and every one of us here this morning and allowing those to watch online, God. Lord, I ask that you use Pastor, Lord, to bring forth the word that you've laid on his heart, Lord, and the perfection that you require of it, Lord. God, may every distraction, Lord, just leave us at this moment, God, to make a clear path for your word. God, and for your spirit, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us, God, right where we are. God, and use this word, Lord, how you see fit, Lord, whether it's encouraging, God, or to step on our toes, oh, Lord. God, I ask that you just use this, Lord, to reach each and every one of us, Lord, in some way, shape, or form, God, to just deepen our and strengthen our love and our walk with you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I should let you know that Starbucks in Ashtabula is open. And I was there the other day. I met with Sister Diane. We had a meeting. And when they opened, I think the second or third day I was there, and there's an area, a nice sofa and some chairs in the corner. I said, this is my meeting spot. And so I got there, and there was an elderly lady and a bunch of her family sitting there. Well, I had a problem with that. So we put our order in. And we sat at one of the tall tables for a few minutes. They started getting up. And so I said, let's go. They're leaving. We're going to take the spot. So they were putting their coats on. I walked over and I said, ma'am, I said, in the future, I need you to understand that's my spot. I claimed that. I did tell her that. She chuckled, hit me with her purse, and we went on our ways. No, but I did tell her that. She laughed. I was nice about it, but next time I won't be so nice if she's there again. Praise God for Starbucks. If you had to pastor you, you would want Starbucks too. I may just preach to myself today because a few weeks ago the Lord showed me something in the future text regarding everything that we're going to read today. It was just more of a continuance of what God has shown me. And so the context of where we're at, you probably are aware that they go to spy out the land, and 10 out of the 12 spies just are very negative about it and feel like it's not possible, it's not going to happen. And so if you're Joshua and Caleb, and maybe even the rest of Israel, you're almost to that place where God is going to bring you into your long-awaited promise, and then somebody says to you, this isn't going to happen. To rephrase that, you are midway through your journey in your walk with God, and a voice in your head says, no, you can't do this. Somebody who's close to you asks you why you keep going to church. There's always somebody or something that's speaking all of the negative and not the positive. And so they said, we be not able. To Joshua and Caleb, it must have completely deflated them. Of course, we know that they come back and they push back, but obviously the opposition was too overwhelming and they more than likely could not get a word in otherwise. And so there will be people in your life that will sadly settle to where the journey has brought them thus far, and they will not go any further than that. They will slip back into the world because somewhere in their mind they said, we're not able to do this. I can't do this. I can't serve God. I can't go to church. It's too hard. I've always asked people and they tell me it's hard. I ask them, what exactly is hard? Is it the getting up and walking to your car? Or is it the driving 10 minutes to the church in your nice heated leather seated automobile? And I know some of you sarcastic, I don't have leather in my car. Well, you got a car. And you're not freezing to death like they are in Ukraine today. And you got heat in it. And you were able to get up and get a shower. minus the one or two people whose pipes froze, and you'll get that fixed. Just got to cover all the, you got it. And so that's where some people get to. They get to that place where they say, we're not able. They are the other 10 who I will point out to you are not named. The only two people who are named are those that believe that we can do this. Because those that do not believe they can finish this journey or this race, they don't believe that God can finish what they started. Unfortunately, they will slip off into oblivion and they will become nameless by choice, not by my desire or not by yours. They won't want to be noticed or recognized anymore. They won't want to show up and have a role anymore. And it's because somewhere they said, we're not able. They might not have used those words, but their decisions and their actions spoke louder than their words ever could. They quit coming because, well, I can't do this anymore. I'm not able. I don't want to do it anymore. And so they become a voice that, if you're not careful, will sway and discourage you. It's the ripple effect of people's decisions I have found is probably the greatest challenge the church will ever face. I'm not afraid of the devil, but I am afraid of some people's decision making. I am not afraid of demonic spirits, but I am afraid of some people, the way they respond to adversity. I am afraid how some people respond to the mountains in their life. It troubles me. I carry it. I go home and I take it to bed with me and I wake up sick about it because I know inside of their mind there's something that's saying, we're not able. We're not able. We're not able. We're not able. And then, as if by some strange turn of events, many of those people always begin to express a very deep concern for you. Well, I'm just concerned that you're kind of caught up in all that. I'm just concerned because that's bondage. I'm just concerned that you've become brainwashed. I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Backsliders always become very concerned for the church. Backsliders always become very concerned for your well-being. But it is nothing more than that spirit of we're not able. And so there's a ripple effect, and sometimes you got to drag some people into the pit with you so you don't feel alone when you're dying all by yourself in that cold, dark grave. And that is exactly what this situation was. That's exactly the spirits that surrounded it. But I want to tell you something. I want to remind you something. And I'm going to tell everybody here, you don't need to watch out for anybody, and they don't need you watching out for them. God watches out for us. God watches out for us. But listen, in the next chapter, the very first verse, we see the effects of this ripple that had already begun to sweep through the camp of Israel. And it said, all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried, and the people wept that night. That is what a ripple effect looks like. And to put it into more context, I'll talk to some here. Some might not really understand, but those who really are, They're your anchors in your church. And I'm not saying this towards anybody. I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, sometimes when they begin to hear those 10 spies say, we're not able, it begins to discourage you. It causes you to question where you are and what you're doing. I am a testament to that. I sat there and I looked at God a week or two ago and I said, God, there ain't no way I'm trying to try and build a building program with all this nonsense. I don't know how we're supposed to. And the Lord spoke something very clear to me, but I'm going to share with you. But it's a ripple effect, and it affects people. Your decisions affect me. My decisions affect you. Hey, you 10 spies, Moses had confidence enough to choose you to go up there to send a report back. He didn't want your negative junk. He didn't want you to say we can't. He wanted you to see what God was doing. He wanted you to lay your eyes on it, but you came back with this report of we're not able. And then before it was said and done, it had rippled throughout the entire camp of Israel. And the Bible says the entire body of people, they wept that night, and the people cried because they had felt so defeated and so discouraged. Now, here's one neat thing that I like about the scripture. The scripture is never just obvious. It's never just obvious. And while I was writing some of these things down over the past week, I felt like the Holy Ghost said to me, we must decrease so God can increase. Well, the obvious is the obvious. But then the Lord tied it into, sometimes you got to decrease in number so God can increase in strength. Sometimes you got to get rid of those 10 doubters, and I don't mean that with any lightheartedness whatsoever, but sometimes you do got to cut some people loose because they're dragging you under. They'll cause you to sink if you're not careful. They'll take you down with them. And so sometimes the body has to decrease in order for God to bring the increase. Why? Because in order for God to bring the increase, we've got to be of one mind. We cannot have 100 people thinking 100 different ways or 200 people with 200 different opinions. And so God will begin to decrease the body in order to increase the body. If you want to put that into a physical example that you understand, sometimes you got to lose some weight before you can become stronger. Sometimes you got to lose some dead pounds before you can think more clearly. I don't know about you, but when we did this Daniel fast this year, I felt more clarity than I'd ever felt during this Daniel fast. I felt better. I was coming out of bed leaping. Yeah, I had to get rid of some chocolate and get rid of some chicken, but I felt better about it because I got rid of some of the grease and the garbage that's in all that stuff. And sometimes that's the way the church has to increase. There's got to be a decrease of the body in order for God to increase. And so God will take every situation and he'll use it for his good and for his glory. Every situation. And so, ultimately, Israel had to decrease in number before God could increase in power. Now, Israel reached the same place of uncertainty that Moses had reached just about 1 year prior in Exodus 33 and 13. Probably one of my favorite texts in the Old Testament. Very, very similar in circumstance. And to give you some background just very quickly, after Israel had made this golden calf, Moses was just so upset and so distraught. And so he disassembles the camp and he carries it outside, the tabernacle, he carries it outside the camp. See, sometimes you can't just worship where you are in your life. That nonsense is from the devil. Well, God loves me no matter what. He loves you no matter what, but you can't worship him no matter what. Because all that dead weight will drag you under. Lay aside every weight and sin. Sometimes you got to remove yourself from an environment in order to learn to worship God again. People lose their worship sometimes because of their environment. Their environment has become nothing but toxic, and it affects them. That's why you shouldn't sit somebody beside someone that talks all service. You should tell them, if you just keep talking, I'm going to go sit somewhere else. And everybody's going to know because I'm going to get up in the middle of service. I'm going to go move because I want to hear what the preacher's got to say. And so he disassembles the tabernacle. He carries it outside of Israel. It's 2.5 miles at bare minimum because the tabernacle, for those who aren't aware, was five, or the camp of Israel was about a 5 mile in diameter camp. And so, in chapter 33, verse 13, he says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider now that this nation is thy people. Now, this is an important verse, and I'm sorry for those of you that have heard me preach about it many times before, but you've got to understand what's being said here. The man who God spoke to through a fiery, burning bush, And God said, go down into Egypt and set my people free. Tell Pharaoh to let him go. And then God said, I'm going to harden his heart and I'm going to send some plagues. I'm going to get their attention and I'm going to build Israel's faith. And he witnessed all of this. Then they come out by God's strong hand. They get to the Red Sea. And the Bible says, when they got there, the whole camp of Israel again was in an uproar. We should have left us back there. We're going to die. And Moses didn't know what to do. And he says, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, what are you asking me for? What do you have? Use what you got. The Lord's told me those things before. When I've complained, God says, use what you got. And so he stretches out his staff. They cross the Red Sea. Now here you are a short time later. And he says, God, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me the way. Now, if I was God, I would have supernaturally had my hand appear and I'd have slapped him. If I was God, that's what I would have done. You're lucky I'm not God. I would have, because I'd have said, what are you talking about? Didn't you see everything I've already done? But listen to me. There comes a place in every one of our lives where it's easy to forget all the miracles and all the great things God has done. There comes a place in every one of our lives where we become so overwhelmed and so consumed with the moment that we forget about all of the things that God has already done. And that is the design of the adversary, to cause us to forget, the times that you wept at the altar, and forget the times that you danced with joy, and forget the times God gave you a direct word, and forget the times you had a conversation on Saturday night and Sunday morning. The message was exactly what you talked about the night before. That's what every valley and every trial is meant to do. It's to cause us to forget. And that's where Moses was. And so the Lord says, now very simply, God doesn't do any, you know, doesn't send fire down from heaven, doesn't have angels just appear and say, I'm with you. No, God just says, my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. Now, that sounds almost like, I was looking for a little more than that, God. You know, I mean, could you like have a prophet call me right now and over the phone say, hey, you're talking to God right now and the Lord just interrupted my meal. Thank you very much to tell you that thus saith the Lord. That's what we look for. We don't look for those just gentle reminders because we get in those moments of our life and it's just not enough because of our human nature. And then Moses comes back at God and says, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't take us up. Now, if I was God again, here come that hand again. I'd have said, what do you think my plan was when I sent you down into Egypt? That's what I would have said if I was God. What do you think my plan was? Why do you think I sent you there? Do you think I just forgot about it? Do you think I went on vacation? Do you think that I no longer have a desire to do it? But that's not what God does. And so at some point, we'll all come to this place of uncertainty that rocks our lives. And we will, in some way or another, seek reassurance from God. Now, sometimes the way we seek reassurance of what we're looking for, unfortunately, is different than the way God is going to respond. And that there becomes our quagmire. And God gives reminders. That's what the word is for. Well, yeah, you just preached that 3 weeks ago. I know, and all along, God's trying to say, this is what you just asked. I'm trying to give you an answer, just a gentle reminder. And then verse 18, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, I dare say that nobody here has ever had a direct conversation with God, and you're going back and forth, and God's saying, you're saying this, all of a sudden you say, well, that wasn't enough, show me your glory. God's in a cloud in the doorway. All of Israel can see. The Bible says they stood in their tents, the doorway of their tents, and they were afraid because they thought, oh, God's going to rain down judgment. And they can see him in this cloud. They can hear him talking to Moses. And they're afraid. And he says, show me your glory. I love this text because years ago it got my attention. That means that all of the wow and the pizzazz and the jazz of service is not the glory of God. That's just his divine presence. That's just the refreshing wherewith he will cause the weary to rest. But it's something more than that. There are times in our lives where we say, God, you've got to take me deeper. I need to understand more. I need another revelation. I don't need another word because I've got plenty of words. We're here having words right now. But for some reason, I still feel unsettled in my spirit. And he says, show me something. Show me your glory. And God says, okay, verse 19. He says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now listen, this verse is very, very important. His answer is very important. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In verse 23, he says, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, of course, the very clear understanding here is this is where Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1. This is where God began to reveal to him the beginning of creation. That part is obvious. But what the Lord began to talk to me about a week ago was why? Why? Why was God showing him these things? We know how we got the word, but why? What was the end game here? What was the whole point? Before I explain this to you, let me just say, if you now fast forward about 837 years, we find the exact same words being spoken in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 17. After he is trying for a very long time to get Israel's attention and let them know judgment is coming if you don't change your ways, he says, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. So we see three almost occasions here. Two just 1 year apart, another one over 830 some years apart, where Israel is at this breaking point. They're at this point of contention where some want to go one way, some want to go the other. The unity's not there. There's all kind of a mess and issues because it's not a one and done event. What that means is you're not going to, wherever you are today, you're not going to get through it and it's going to be over for the rest of your life. There will be another event come in your life. There will be another moment where you feel defeated. Why? Because every leg of the journey brings you into a new level of faith. And to have greater faith, you got to face greater adversaries. And so in Joshua and Caleb's, are we okay so far? In Joshua and Caleb's instance, they tried to calm the ripple effect, but I have learned that preachers can't calm the ripple effect. You cannot. They have to have a direct confrontation, not in a bad way, with God. That's the only way, because we are too fickle sometimes to let somebody else. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I've preached things over the, yeah, I've heard that preach 1,000 times. Yeah, I know, you told me that before. Yeah, I know nothing's changed yet. Yeah, I've been leaning. You keep saying, just have faith. I have faith, and nothing's changed, because as a preacher, we cannot stop the ripple from other people's calamity, from other people's drama, from other people's willingness to just walk away. We can't stop that boat, but God is able. And I believe that Moses knew something, and he said, God, I can't fix these people. You've got to show me something more. So God says, I'm going to show you all the goodness of the Lord. Here's what he was saying. He was saying to Moses, I'm not going to show you the future. There is no faith in showing you the future. You've got to continue to walk in faith. So if you're asking me to tell you what's going to unfold over the next weeks and months, that's not going to happen. But what I will do is I'll take you back to the very beginning, and I'll remind you of who I am, and I'll remind you who it was that first moved and this world began to be formed, and I'll show you how I single-handedly begin to make creation come together and see it all pull together. It wasn't no big bang. The only bang was God's voice thundering in a universe of darkness when he began to put the world together and he began to separate light from darkness. And then God says, now remember who it was that spoke to you in the bush. Remember who it was that sent you into Egypt. Remember who it was. Come on, somebody. What I'm trying to tell you is God's not going to give you some big thundering revelation of what the next 10 days or 10 years are going to unfold, but he's going to remind you who he was the first day he stepped into your life. You see, the whole point of Moses going up there and God saying, I'll show you my back parts, but I won't show you my face, was God was saying, I'm never going to show you what's to come because you got to keep walking by faith, but I will remind you of where you've come from. And so sometimes you need to have an encounter with God. You need to remember. You've got to remember the first day you walked into the church. And you've got to, because listen, there are people here today under the sound of my voice. The ripples have been going on for the last 10 years in your life. And they've just worn like sandstone. The water just keeps coming in and taking a little more away and a little more away. And you're just a shell of who you were when you walked into this. Oh, I feel the Lord trying to talk to some people, but God is saying, I need you to go way back, and I want to remind you who you were when you first walked to the altar, what you felt, how you felt when I first filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Here's what God is saying. I'm the same God today. And I know you don't think you can get through tomorrow, but I'm the same God, and I will still bring you through that as well. And so what the Lord began to help me see is don't get caught up in all of the we can't make it. Don't get sucked into the we can't make it. Just you gotta have to go back and remember who I am. God, who should I say sent me? I am. That's all they need to know. I am. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I am everything you'll need. I am every answer to every problem. I am bigger than the doctors. I'm bigger than the Adderall. I'm bigger than the sleeping pills. I'm bigger than the anxiety medication. I'm bigger than your problems. I am. I am. And sometimes when you're trying to look ahead, but there's too much from the ripple effects of your life, you got to go back and tell God, remind me who you are. Maybe that did more for me than you. I don't know. And so, as we plow forward, I personally, I can't speak for you. I go forward only under the promise of who God has always been and that he will always be. And if God did it then, God will do it tomorrow. I didn't know the way then, but we still kept forging away, forging ahead, and God did it. I got to remind myself of the times when I kept plowing ground, and even though I wasn't feeling anything, but then there was a moment where God came through. There was a breakthrough. There was a little bit of a divide in the clouds, and the sun started coming through again. But just as quick as the sun came through, those clouds closed back up, and winter was still with us. You see, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the winter's going to end. You know how I know? It always does. We learn everything and so much through God's creation, but we get caught up in the storm of today. And I can't stand this. I hate this. We are not able to live in Ashtabula County, so we'll just go to Florida. So you just move yourself outside of God's will, literally, metaphorically. People, they may never change their zip codes, but they move right outside of God's will. And they stop living for the Lord, under his covering, trusting in the Lord, because they just got tired of it. And they felt like the sun was shining better somewhere else. I've never forgot, and you are unable to understand my testimony. You don't have the depth that I do. But I've never forgot the day. Honey, if you could just get ready for me. I won't be much longer. I've never forgot the day when I stood in that shed at about 17 years old by myself. Hadn't been in church since we were children, young. And just out of the blue, I said, I'm going to do something great for God someday. That's exactly what I never forgot that day. That was my burning bush. That was my moment. That was the moment that God called me right there, Brother Brent. That was the moment. And I've had to go back to that moment many times in my life because there are times that I thought God forgot about me. There are times I thought God was disappointed in me. There was a time when I thought God literally wanted to kill me, was planning to kill me. I literally did. I did. And as I'm walking down the road, Brother Doug, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm all messed up, man. And all of a sudden, I just, it's like this light bulb went off. And I said, that's it. I'm just so disappointed in myself. I think God is that disappointed in me. It wasn't a light bulb. It was the voice of the Lord. Because when you get caught up in that stuff, and sometimes when the ripples get too big, everybody gets affected. And you'll have times where you'll be walking in the church and you'll have 10 people say, man, just what's been going on? I've had someone say it to me, man, what's going on with people lately? What's going on? I don't understand it. And it's during those times when you're wondering what's going on, what's happening. God, I've been praying about this. I don't understand why nothing's happening. You gave me a word. You had a preacher talk to me and tell me just out of the blue, but nothing's happened. And God would say to you, let's take a little journey back. Let me remind you who I was. I'm a God that keeps my word. God is a God of promises. He doesn't break his promises. They stood there. And only Joshua and Caleb, their faith was not in anything other than if God brought us this far, God will take us the rest of the way. But the majority of the church, or I should say the majority of the leadership of the church, became poor representation of the God that they said they served. And they begin to say, we are not able, for they, who's they? Who is they? They are stronger than we. And then they begin to call themselves grasshoppers. That's where they begin to look at themselves as being insignificant. When you begin to look at yourself as being insignificant, you are exactly where those 10 spies were. And so God will get to the point where he'll say, in order for me to increase, I've got to decrease this body. I can't take you any farther with those that just refuse to trust me. I can't take you any farther with those that just refuse to remember all the things that I've done in their life. Think about it just for one moment. I want every person in this room right now, I want you to think of the very first time you walked into the church and you felt the presence of God. I want you to remember where you were. Now, I know some of you were raised in this, but there's still a moment in your life when you came to the age of understanding where you begin to, things begin to click for you. Where were you? Where was your life? What was the despair that you were living with? Had a lady that come to our church years ago, and she said somebody had reached out to her somehow. It might have been a flyer or a handout or something. And she said, the day that I got it, I was going to kill myself. But somewhere along the line, the circumstances became overwhelming for her, and she forgot. She forgot how God intervened in her life. God does not quit on us. We quit on him. Who was it? Where were you when God brought you out of this world for the first time? Where was your life? Brother Kenny, you were living in a van. You rolled up in this church parking lot for the first time. Are you going to let all the frustration of life cause you to forget how God directed your path? Some of you are sitting here today and you were alcoholics. God stuck with you. Your spouse stuck with you. God kept giving you hope until finally hope brought you out. You see, sometimes the only hope we have is not in the word of a prophet. That's how false prophets are born. Satan knows that you're seeking a word. When sometimes, I'm not saying God doesn't give words, he does. But most of the time, God will just say, all right, let's take a trip back. And let's talk about who I have always been. And you think now that I'm not capable of helping you finish this journey. You actually think that I am not capable of blessing your giving. You actually think that I'm not capable of healing your disease. You actually think that I'm not capable of healing the wounds in your heart. Oh, everything might not go the exact way you want it to go. But do you want things to go the way you want it to go, or do you want God to intervene? He's still the I am. He's never stopped being the I am. You may have stopped looking to the I am, but he's never stopped being the I am. I told God, I'm not building this building. I did. I said, there's no way. There's too many people acting crazy right now, God. It makes me feel, the ripple effect was making me feel uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, the Lord said to me, he said, if I did it before, he said, I will do it again. That is the only thing we're having a meeting on. It's the only reason we're moving forward. The only, because I don't see the way. But I have learned to trust that I don't need to see the way. I've learned to trust. You can beg, you can plead, you can borrow, you can steal. But God says, I am not showing you tomorrow, but I will remind you of yesterday. I will remind you of how you felt when you poured your guts out to me. I will remind you of the life that I spared you from. I will remind you of all my goodness that passed over you during your darkest days and during the worst moments of your life. I will remind you that I am still the same God today. And I feel the Lord trying to remind people this morning, you have forgotten who I was because of the calamity in your life. And sometimes that is birth and disobedience. It's not just because of anything else, but God is still faithful in his promises. And God was saying to Moses, if I told you at the bush that I'm going to bring them out and bring them into a land that flows with milk and honey, it doesn't matter what they've done, I'm still bringing them in. We might have to shed some pounds, but somebody's going into Canaan because I made a promise and I keep my promises. I am God all by myself, and I'm going to remind you, I was the I am then, and I will be the I am when you cross the Jordan River and when you walk up to those walls of Jericho, and I will get you where I promise you. I'm here to tell somebody, God will get you where he promise to take you. Just don't give up on him. Just don't quit on him. Ask the Lord, stand with me if you would. Ask the Lord, take me back this morning. Take me back and remind me right now, God, begin to show us. Right now, begin to speak into the hearts and the minds of people. Right now, remind them, God, of the things you've already done. God, right now, bring to their remembrance the reminders. God, the promises. Your promises do not expire. They do not get old. Your promises, you don't take them back. You don't renege and you don't say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You're not good enough today. No, the promise is still the same. He's a God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's a God that reigns upon the throne all by himself. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need yours. He's God all by himself. And one day he stepped into my life. He found a broken and a wounded person, and God began to put the pieces back together. And today, God is saying to me, I don't know about you, but he's saying to me, if I brought you to this point, I'm going to take you past the next one, and I'm going to take you into the promise that I promise. We'll get there. It might be difficult some days, but we'll get there. Some days you got to be like Moses, and I'm almost done. And some days you got to say, God, it's too much for me. You got to take me. God, you got to show me your glory. I get your presence all the time. I felt your presence the moment I walked in. I need your glory. I need your word today. I need the spirit of prophecy to remind me of where I am and who I am and who you are and what you are. God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, begin to take us on a journey back. I ask you to begin to speak to every person that has the same hunger that Moses had on that day. God, begin to remind them right now. Take them back where they were, where you found them. They didn't find you. Take them back and remind them you were there every step of the way. You never quit. You never gave up. You are God all by yourself, and you will continue to be. Come on, somebody just embrace him right now. Somebody embrace him. Hallelujah. Somebody lift their hands. Cry out to him. God, I get your presence all the time. I need a trip into glory for a few minutes. Help me see, God, a break in the clouds of my life. Help me see what I once believed in, what I once lived for. Hallelujah.
And more than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Somebody, stop worrying about your mascara and start let the tears flow down your face. Let God love you for a minute. Let him love you. Let him love you. Stop worrying about being so manly that you don't want to cry. Let him talk to you.
Caught up in this holy moment, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't know me. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Last thing I'm going to say, keep singing softly. Don't open your eyes. Don't look at me. Listen to me. You're going to get up from this altar this morning, and nothing in your situation is going to change. Moses come down out of that mountain, all those people are still there. But you know what? He had a new perspective because God gave him a reminder and a revelation. That's all you need. You don't need God to change your circumstance. Just tell him to give me a reminder this morning, God. Help me to see again. Help me to see clearly. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't know me. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come. with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I opened up my heart to you.
Come on, you're starting to feel it now. Remember that word you were given a year ago. I'm talking to someone. Hallelujah. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hallelujah.
As I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Come on, they're going to keep singing. I'm going to have Brother K.O. come up and pray here in just a moment. I want to tell somebody, God ain't forgot you. He has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Come on. Don't stop fighting. God hasn't cut you off because of where you were, the things you walked through. That's not God. Only we cut ourselves off from Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you pray, I'm going to have Brother K.O. pray. Don't give up. Don't stop.
Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, who will believe the report of the Lord? Father, we will believe the report of the Lord, what your word declares about us, what your word says. Father, we're going to believe it. We're going to follow after you, Jesus. Father, we dedicate our hearts. We commit ourselves to your ways, Lord. And we will believe the report of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for what you are doing in our lives, in our families, in our community. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to commit our ways to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, yes, Lord, the doctor's reports may give us a negative report, but Lord, we're going to believe your report. Lord, the past, our past may give us a report, but we're going to believe the report of the Lord, that you are for us and not against us. In the name of Jesus Christ, why don't we just raise our hands all across this house right now and say, God, we believe the report of the Lord. Come on, every hand raised, every hand raised. I believe the report of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe that you're for me and not against me. I believe that you love me with an everlasting love. I believe, God, that you have great things in store for my life and for my family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, let's just push right now. Let's just push to the next dimension. In the name of Jesus. I want every young man, every aspiring young minister, I want you to push in the Holy Ghost right now. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, your word tells us that you stick closer than a brother. In the name of Jesus. Itaramondorobo shiatayandorobo kiaronai. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we're not leaving here the same way we walked in. We're not leaving here the same way we walked in, Lord. But we're leaving here, God, with the heaviness off of our shoulders in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every once in a while, somebody, you've just got to prophesy into the atmosphere. You've got to prophesy to the negativity that's coming against your family and coming against you and say, I prophesy and declare by the power of the name of Jesus that my family will be set free. I prophesy and declare in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that my finances will be set free. I prophesy and declare in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that my community will be set free. Hatayandorobo shiaronai, viakayando rushi atayandorobo.